1-2. Jankowski to Schumann. And the ground ball will end things. A 3-2 win for the Oakland Athletics. One more win for the Oakland fans.
A W on a day that everybody in the Bay needed one.
But Jenny Kavanaugh, NBC Sports California, with what I would imagine will be a call that is played again a time or two. The Oakland A's have completed their time in Oakland, California. They beat the Rangers today 3-2. I hope that gave some people a smile on their face, but obviously that is a tiny token of appreciation on the way out the door in what is largely a very, very sad and frustrating story.
Grandy's got me like thinking about welling up in tears with the celebration, Cool and the Gang, yep. Rejoin, and apologies to the YouTube audience. You know the song, and you know that it's become synonymous with Oakland A's baseball victories, and so... Man, if there's one thing that was going to trigger the tears, Grandy, you might have just done it.
I wonder if this will do it, or maybe it'll trigger something else, because he certainly did the other night on ABC7. Our good buddy Larry Beal let it loose, and it was phenomenal content, and it struck a chord, and all of those things. So welcome in, Larry, and it's great to have you on a busy day.
Yeah, it's a wild day. It's a sad day. It's a frustrating day. What's been funny in the past few days as the video has circulated around, you know, people are like, well, you got to do another one. Like, okay, the next time a team leaves after 57 years, I'll work something up for you. But it's not like, you know, I can get that upset about, you know, who's playing two guard next to Steph. It's just, the rant just doesn't have the same intensity at that point.
Well, right here on the River Islands guest line, it's Larry Beal. So are you saying you don't have another one ready for us today?
Oh, you know, I'll have some pointed remarks towards the owner because, you know, we've been covering this thing for years and years and years, and John Fisher's inability, his consistent bumbling and bungling every possible stadium deal leaves me with just a glimmer of hope that he can screw up this one also, either in Sacramento or in Vegas. I mean, they had been working with Goldman Sachs for well over a year. And if Goldman Sachs can't work it out for you, like, how are we going to get this thing built? I think you have a problem. I'm not a financial analyst, but it seems to me that that should be a little bit worrisome, especially when your proposal is to continue to remain on revenue sharing in a new ballpark. Who would invest in that? That means you're not making any money. I don't get it.
Yeah, and also the Nevada legislature and the voters seem all too willing to give him $600 million to help prop this thing up. But Larry, just hearing your rant and having you on the phone here makes me think about your catchphrase, aloha means goodbye. Oh, and yeah. Today, it really does mean goodbye. So beyond the evisceration of John Fisher, what are the emotions for you as a guy who's been in this market for a long time and what you're feeling from fans today?
Oh, I feel for them so much. And my first interview that I did in the Bay Area when I came from Hawaii was 1989, and I sat down in the seats at the Coliseum and did a one-on-one interview with Sandy Alderson, who was then the general manager, and had, you know, followed the team through all the great years and the Bash Brother years. And I mean, when I saw last night at the end of the game that the grounds crew was sweeping up dirt and pouring the dirt into water bottles for fans because they wanted to have a lifelong memory of the Coliseum, I started tearing up because I was like, my goodness, this is so emotional. And I can't even imagine, you know, today at least they won the game. And I, you know, somebody described it last night as like part playoff game, part funeral. And I think those are the emotions that we're all wrestling with at this point, because something that is beloved is being torn away from a community that desperately needs it because of one man's greed. That's it.
Yep, man, that's very well said. Larry Beal with us here on Willard and Dibbs. Larry, I'm also trying to think back, because I, in general, I hate relocation. Especially yep. modern relocation. It's born from greed. I think it's disingenuous. They put up these renderings and plans that they know are going to fail so that they can legally get their way out. But you know what's different about this one? I was thinking about this today. I don't know if I can think of another relocation where they didn't even have anywhere to go and they were still left. That's what's craziest about this for me.
That is actually a great point that I hadn't thought of. I mean, you know, I've got a bunch of friends that live in Seattle, and they still, I mean, 20-plus years later are talking about, or maybe it's not 20, but the Supersonics of being moved to Oklahoma City. And, you know, you could go back to Art Modell and the Colts going from Baltimore to Indianapolis. This is not a new thing. Chargers, San Diego to sure. L.A., Rams from L.A. to St. Louis, 20 years there, then back to L.A. But you're right. It's almost like, yeah, we'll maybe we'll play on a floating stadium that just travels around the Bay Area. Or it's so dumb. And just to kind of have Sacramento as your landing spot temporarily in a minor league park with artificial turf being installed, it's 110 in the summer in Sacramento. On artificial turf, it'll be 130 or 140. You could have guys with their cleats melting. And you imagine, you know, the Dodgers come in for a series and Shohei Ohtani is looking around and it's like 110 degrees. And he's like, no, I don't understand why the Players Association has not made a bigger fuss about this. They've been pretty quiet. I'm wondering what they're waiting on, because so many players would just say, no way. And what kind of a team are they going to put out? I mean, the A's have some decent young players right now. Would any free agent sign with them? Why?
Oh,
you right. wouldn't have you run the opposite way.
And in the interim, it's going to be playing at a AAA stadium, which I'm told is very nice, but I'm also yeah. being told that the facilities, the locker rooms are, well, wait for it, minor league caliber. So do you still think that, and you mentioned this earlier, like you're kind of holding out a sliver, a tiny sliver of hope that this thing blows up. Is there any possible way that this goes so badly that John Fisher is forced to sell and that they could possibly relocate back to Oakland?
Relocate.
Thank you. Yeah. Shout out Al Davis with the re.
Yeah. I think, yeah, there is some hope, just because given the history, you have an owner who's, you know, screwed up every potential move. And, you know, I covered all of these, so I know each potential proposal in detail. Like, how about this? They tried to do a deal with Peralta College. They announced that they were buying the land.
So good.
Except they never told Peralta College that they were going to try to buy them. It's like me rolling up to your house, Dibs, and going, yeah, this is mine now. And you go, well, who the hell are you? And no, I'm not leaving my house.
Yeah.
So get out of here.
You remember Warm Springs, too, down there in Fremont on the edge of San Jose?
Oh, yeah.
After the Giants blocked them from San Jose, then they, okay, we're going to go to Warm Springs. Okay.
All of them have been so ridiculous. Even going back to the first one, Lou Wolf, when he first took over the team, this is a guy who's been, you know, a very successful real estate developer. He announced out of the blue that they were going to buy up all of the warehouses and all the land around the Coliseum to make it a Coliseum city, if you remember that phrase.
That's right.
Okay, well, when they built Disneyland, they were smart enough. Walt was smart enough to form a bunch of LLCs and bought up all the land. And then when he had all the land, he announced it. When Walt did it, he announced it first, and all of the people that owned the land were like, yeah, well, now it's 10X. So none of this has made any sense from the jump. But, yeah, I mean, maybe there's a 3 to 5% chance if there's enough bungling that goes along the way in the next, you know, few years. Look, Vivek Ranadive is a billionaire. He owns the Sacramento Kings. He owns the Rivercat Stadium, Sutter Hill Field. He's banking on failure in Vegas. That's why he's charging the A's zero rent, because he's betting that Major League Baseball will say, you know what? They've been in Sacramento for a year or two. We'll just leave them there, and Vivek, can you build a stadium for us?
Well,
now, at that point...
Yeah, no, go ahead, Larry. Sorry.
No, at that point, you know, maybe it's up for grabs, and maybe people like Joe Lacob and the AASEG group and others in Oakland will, you know, come to the forefront, and you could have sort of a, no, well, we want it, and this is a bigger market. Why would you leave one of the top 10 markets in the country to go to either Sacramento, and nothing against the fine people of Sacramento, it's just, you know, not as many people there, or Vegas. they're going to be like the fifth or sixth most relevant team in Vegas if they ever get there. So.
Yeah, Larry, that's you're like that's the question for me when you talk about even the tiny percent chance of everything falling apart and them coming back. Do you think Oakland A's fans would welcome them back if Fisher were still the owner?
No. Can you take out that last line?
Well, right? I mean, these are two pieces of the puzzle, right? Like, he's got to be convinced to sell, which has not happened yet. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, that would that would be an interesting scenario. Because if he was going to run it the same way that he runs it now, then what would be the point? You know, if he had this epiphany, and maybe he sat down with his buddy Joe Lacob, you know, in a billionaires club lunch, and Joe said, you know, my philosophy is spend money to make money. You might want to try that instead of, you know, continually shrinking the budget. How about this? 2004. Eric Chavez signed a deal for $66 million, six for 66. 2005, Fisher and Wolf buy the team. The Chavez contract is still the largest contract this team has ever given out. And it's 20 years later, and you have, like, Shohei's making $700 million a year. You got guys signing for $200-300 million, you know, left and right all over the place. And the Chavez contract from 20 years ago is still the high watermark for this franchise.
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Larry, thank you for your work the other night. Thank you for coming on today.
Anytime. Love you guys.